G'day. Today we're talking about turning up. Now, what does turning up really mean? Well, it means defending your right to arrive in a place in a good way. Now, there are a million things that could take you out of turning up. Firstly, let me just say that turning up is essential for relationships, for leadership, and for business. So if you can't turn up, you can't deal, you can't negotiate, you will be on the back foot in your relationship, you will be abusing the time and the space of your partner. So I'm going to say turning up is probably, as an outcome of the 30-day challenge, the single most important variable that you can affect. If your body is in discomfort, you won't turn up because you'll be thinking about your body while you're talking about fishing. If your environment is chaotic, everything's out of place, jumbled cupboards and difficult clothing, or you don't feel comfortable in your own skin, then again, we could say it's going to be hard to turn up because you'll be distracted. If you're working on somebody else's priorities, it's hard to turn up. And that's where we go link it or sink it. What we say is, I don't mind working on anything. As long as I can link it to my values, I'll do it. I'll do it happily. I'll do it even enthusiastically. But the key here is that I will do it by linking it or sinking it. So if we're not on values, we're going to sabotage whatever we do. We might say, oh, I really want to have a new job. I really want to have a new car. I really want to lose weight. I really want to stop drinking alcohol, but not do it. And the reason usually is because somebody else suggested that would be good for you. It's not really your value. You haven't linked it to something that's important to you. So values are, or living somebody else's shoulds, or trying to project your shoulds onto somebody else, means you won't turn up. When you are trying to turn up and you are unsure about the future and you're going, oh, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know if I want to stay in this job. I don't know if I'm going to even be here next year. I don't know if I really want to continue with this race that I'm running. I don't know if I really want to be in this this industry. And if there's uncertainty about the future, it's nearly impossible to turn up. Because turning up means being present 100% here in this moment in time. Finally, one of the topics that affect how we turn up is how we talk to ourselves. So if there's one voice on the inside going, you dickhead, you idiot, oh, you fool, oh, why were you doing that? I'm not sure if I want to go there. If this one voice inside being critical, and there's another voice on the outside trying to engage with somebody and turning up, the outer voice will start to speak, but the inner voice won't feel it. So when you speak to somebody and they're rattling along and telling you stories, but they're going so fast that they can't feel what they say, then you are going to be considered a person who is not present, not turning up. I remember a good story. I was in New York. I was at the Hilton. There was a big convention on, and the lead speaker for the day was Bill Clinton, President of the United States, ex-president. I was one of 3,000 guests at this function, and we're all mingling in the room, waiting to sit down, talking to each other, having a chat. And lo and behold, suddenly the room went quiet. I remember this like it was now. It went quiet because Bill Clinton walked in the room. Now, he didn't walk, he's not tall. He didn't walk in and could be seen by everybody. His presence was felt. Now, it's a powerful thing. And I've worked with some rock stars, and I've worked with some politicians, and I've worked with some sports stars around the world. You feel them before you see them. And that's a really, really powerful example of how presence, how important it is to turn up. I remember I was living in India, and I went to Belakut Bay, which is near Mysore. It's a Tibetan settlement. thousands of Tibetan people, but on this occasion there was an indoctrination of a young man to become a Rinpoche, which is the leader of many, many people. This young guy actually had stayed at our home in Mysore, because we were my partner and I at the time were living in Mysore studying yoga, and we were living in our own little house, and somehow he and his two bodyguards got to stay with us, and they stayed for 2 weeks. The first day he arrived, it was very funny. The first day he arrived, we were in the courtyard of the house, the driveway. We were rollerblading. We had been living in New York, and we came to India with our rollerblades thinking, wow, this will be fun. And I was rollerblading up and down the driveway. And this this monk in his ochre robes and the two bodyguards stood there just watching me go up and down. And he asked through the interpreter, this guy was from Tibet. He asked through the interpreter, could he have a try? Now, the rollerblades didn't fit him, which is problem number one. Problem number two, he'd never done it before. And problem number three, if he slips and bangs his head and becomes unconscious, here goes the leader, the reborn leader of about 20,000 people, a very revered young guy. He was 21. Anyway, the long and the short of it is he put on the rollerblades, he'd watched me go up and down, and he actually did it straight away. He did circles, he did everything that I did, because he was so present when he was watching me without judging or thinking or worrying or concerned or nervous or fearful. He was so present, he learnt by observation. Now, what a powerful, powerful monk skill that is, to be so physically in the zone, to turn up so much that he could assimilate something physically into his body because there was no resistance. Not long after, we were celebrating a luncheon. We had, I would say, 30 guests come round. They all brought a plate of food, and we sat around on the floor in a circle, and we were all just enjoying the day. And one guy from New Zealand got out his guitar, and he started playing a John Lennon song. I think it was Yesterday. And he did it, just playing along. And a monk was sitting over there, and he was watching. He didn't move a muscle. Did not move a muscle. He just watched. And at the end, you know it, he asked if he could play the guitar. And he'd never even seen a guitar before. He picked it up and through assimilation played the song. It's a miracle. Both hands. I saw this with my own eyes, and I'm going, now, this is called turning up. This is in the zone. This is presence. When you're climbing an ice wall and you're putting your ice axe in, you're putting another ice axe and you're digging your crampons in, and you've got to move the ice axe, if you're fearful of what's going to happen, you'll typically slip and overhit and you'll crack the ice. If you're not fearful of what's going to happen, you might hit it too gently and the ice axe might not stay. The presence of that click, when you click the ice axe onto the ice, that's turning up. But there's so many opportunities to be distracted. There's emotions, grief, sadness, unhappy. What's wrong with my life? What am I not thankful for? What did I want that I'm not getting? There's so many ways not to turn up. And what we don't appreciate is when we are in grief, or we are sad, or we are fearful, or when we are not present like the monk, we're basically slapping the person who we're communicating with, whether it's the one we love, whether it's our kids, or whether it's somebody at work, we're basically slapping them in the face and saying, you're not important enough to draw my focus. I and what's going on inside me is more important than what's going on for you. So you're not important enough to draw my focus. What my injuries are, what my sadnesses are, what my disappointments are, what my frustrations are, what my hurts are, what my pain is more important than you. Slap. Now, people don't necessarily take spontaneous offense to when another person doesn't turn up or talks about themselves or talks about their problems or grieves or carries on like this. They don't necessarily push back spontaneously. But after a period of time, they get sick of it. After a period of time, we withdraw from those who don't turn up. And those who don't turn up are obsessed with themselves. It's called narcissism. There's a great quote, and it goes, the ultimate narcissism is wanting to change everybody else, wanting to change people. The ultimate altruism is changing how we see them. In this program, I've given you a set of tools. I've given you incredible opportunities to say, I hereby defend my right to turn up in a state. Now, turning up doesn't mean like, boom, here I am. Turning up means turning up in a certain state of mind which makes somebody else feel important. Now, what do you think that is? Well, there's a couple of acronyms that I love to use. The first one, I would say, is balanced, centered, calm. BCC. Balanced mind, centered body, calm nerves. You see my hand is not trembling. I'll bring it close to the camera. It shows you that my nervous system is okay. Now, if I'm trembling like this, if I'm trembling, it shows that my nervous system is on edge, that I'm in a got-to place in one of the seven areas of life. So balance-centered calm means calm nerves. Now, these nerves in our body, these magnificent things, are the conductors of spirit. They're conductors of electricity. They're the conductors of vitality. And if these nerves are spending all their energy activated in trembling, it means you're basically saying the energy within me is unstorable. I don't want to store it. I want to evacuate it. And I want to tremble or shake or fit or rattle my fingers or talk too much or worry a lot or stay awake. Think too much. What I want to do, it's basically when our nervous system is activated, we're basically like an aeroplane that's going to land and we're worried about the landing, so they throw away all the petrol, the fuel from the aeroplane, they dump the fuel, they call it, dump the fuel out at sea. So when the aeroplane lands, if it does crash, there's not much fire. And that's what a person's doing when their nervous system goes into trouble, when their body becomes activated, or when they go into depressions. It's basically dumping fuel. That fuel costs a lot. That fuel is life force. It costs what you eat. It costs what you think. It costs all the years that you've been on this planet and the inheritance you've got from your family. It costs you all the money that you've saved up, all the work that you've contributed to the world, all the children. That energy is your life force, and that is the culmination of your life to this day. It's priceless. And then to think about giving it away with a hand shaking, giving it away with nervousness, giving it away with worry, giving it away with disappointment, giving it away with ingratitude. That's a crime. Balanced mind. It's not so hard. Surely it's not hard to go balanced mind. I see balance. I look for balance. Is it bad? No, it's bad and good. Is it happy? No, it's happy sad. Is it right? No, it's right wrong. It's not hard to do it. And in doing that leads you to the last one, the middle one, balanced, centered. Now, we often center our body in, if we look in the mirror, we center our body, shoulders up, shoulders down. We're centered side to side. But very often, because we've got an ego, we worry about the front of our body. But the back of your body is as important as the front of your body. So centered also means the ear is above the shoulder is above the hip is above the heel. Now, when you stand against a wall, those things happen automatically. If you push back and stand against a wall, the back of your body will, those anchor points, back of the head, top of the shoulders, hips and heels will line up. And you'll see what parts of your body are being pushed into the ego, into the visual, the front system, and you can actually work to pull parts of your body back in so that you are balanced, centered, centered, centered through your body. You'll stand centered, think centered, walk centered. The body, you'll center the breath, breathing centered, balanced in, balanced out. All of these things create presence, powerful presence for you. Balance centered, calm. There's another acronym I use for turning up, and you can use any of these. Another acronym for turning up is GIVE, G-I-V-E, and it goes like this. Gratitude for the past. Now, if I start thinking about what I want without doing a very, very constant and deep exercise in being grateful for what I've got, I will get what I want by losing what I've got. So in other words, we just borrow from the past, put it into the future. We end up with what we want, but at the cost of losing everything we've got. That's not necessary. All we have to do is a daily practice, which is called prayer. Thank you. Thank you for what I've got in the form that I've got it. So if you want a new car, thank you for the new car, the way that I've got it, which is the bus. If I want more children, thank you for the way that I have my children already, the way I nurse and nurture and look after my friends and my family. That is my children. And be thankful for what you've got. If you're looking for more wealth, thankful for the wealth I have in having eyeballs that can see. That's worth a fortune. It's worth $1 billion, because you would not sell me your eyeballs for $1 billion. So gratitude is G. I is inspired. Inspired means I need nothing, I want nothing, I have everything. Inspired means I'm glad for who I am. I'm glad for where I am. I'm glad. It's basically saying I'm happy with the way things are right now. And that's an essential thing to be able to say to yourself in order to turn up. And in order to turn up so you don't go around slapping people in the face, saying, I'm more my time and my worries and my thoughts and my feelings and my ambitions are more important than yours. Turning up means flipping it the other way. I'm satisfied. How can I help? Vision is the third step in GIVE, V. It's very hard to relax if you not have confidence in the future. Sometimes we worry about the future unnecessarily. Sometimes it's necessary to worry about the future. But confidence in the future does not come from worry. Confidence in the future does not come from guessing. Confidence in the future comes from a vision, comes from goal setting, comes from coming down to daily habits that will manifest that outcome. That's the vision. And you can have absolute 100% goal-plated certainty about the future as long as you're willing to adapt the form of what you want. And last but not least, G-I-V-E, give. E is enthusiasm. Now, many, many people ask me, what does it look like? How do you define enthusiasm? And it's really easy. Enthusiasm is inner wealth. Inner wealth is speaking in the language, internal language, in the language of love to. I love this. I link it, sync it. I love what I do. I love life. Now, that's an internal statement. It is not always what we say outside, but the least on the outside, we speak with our heart. We've already done the video on this. We speak with the heart, and that is saying, what do you want? What do I want? How can I give you what you want and get what I want? How can I give you what you want to get what I want? That's speaking from the heart. So with all this said, there's a GIVE acronym. And with GIVE, you'll turn up because you'll have love in your heart and you'll have gratitude for what you've, for the past, for what you've got. Inspired, happy to be here right now. Doesn't get any better than this. And vision, confidence and certainty in the future. There is another one, which I'll do quickly. It's called gratitude, presence, certainty and love. Now it's the same GIVE. It's just another set of words. Gratitude for the past. Presence instead of inspired. Presence meaning I'm here, right here. Nothing more important than that. Gratitude, presence, certainty instead of vision. I'm just saying certainty, but it's certainty about the future. How do you get certainty of the future? Nature's universal laws. And gratitude, presence, certainty, and love instead of enthusiasm. Same word. love from here. Top of the cone, internally, within yourself. 10 out of 10. Turning up is the single most important thing in life. When you don't turn up, you have ingratitude, which erodes the immune system. When you don't turn up, you insult people, you're slapping them in the face. When you don't turn up, you're being narcissistic, which means thinking of the most important thing on the planet is me. And that's a pretty small definition of a planet. So expand yourself, turn up, do your homework to give yourself the gratitude, do your homework to give yourself the inspiration, do your homework to clarify your vision, do your homework to make sure that your self-talk is on track, and you will automatically turn up, and then you will say to people, how can I help you? What do you want? How can I get what I want by giving you what you want? This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.